One of the facets of the new law that's creating a little bit of a problem is that the State Department of Public Safety was supposed to come up with a way to test the contents of products containing THC to figure out exactly how much marijuana is in them. So something like a brownie or oil. But as the Burlington Free Press has reported, the Public Safety Department has not created such a test and, in fact, isn't exactly sure how it would be able to do so. Joining us now to explain how the state tests for marijuana and where the barriers are to testing other things is Tricia Conti, director of the Vermont Forensic Laboratory. Tricia, thanks very much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you cannot test a brownie to see how much THC it has, let alone whether or not it has an ounce of marijuana in it or not?
Correct. What we can do right now is test whether or not that particular brownie has the active ingredient in it of marijuana, which is Delta-9 THC, but we can't tell you for a fact how much of the original marijuana was used to make that brownie or how much is currently in it at that state.
Why not?
So the testing that we do at the laboratory here in Waterbury is a qualitative testing. So it's a yes, no, positive or negative. So we can tell you if something's there, but we don't quantitate for any of the controlled substances or regulated drugs that we look for right now. It's simply qualitative. So we can't tell you how much. We can just tell you whether or not it's there.
So the Burlington Free Press reported that Vermont has not even really started to try to comply with the part of state law that requires the Department of Public Safety to come up with a test that would be able to tell the amount or the content of THC in an edible or an oil. Do you have a sense of why that hasn't happened?
So one of the major hurdles to this is the fact that the law was written that only the portion of the marijuana product that's attributable to marijuana. Now, the definition of marijuana by statute is having to do with the physical plant characteristics itself. So if you take an instance like a brownie, you could have people that are making it using the raw product, the marijuana product itself, or you could have people that are using butter or oil in their recipe to make it. So if they're using one of those, there's no way for us to identify any remnants of the plant. So that being said, we couldn't identify whether or not there was actual marijuana itself the plant used to make it. Think of it a similar situation to if you're baking and you have a list of ingredients, how easy would it be after you're done making that product to go back and see how much oregano or how much of this spice or that ingredient you used. You couldn't sift through to look for that original material. It's almost impossible.
So in some ways, it's an impossibility in the way the law is written for the state even to do the kind of testing that is required of it.
Correct. And I think it was, I think the intention was there, but I think they needed a little bit more guidance on the technical capabilities in order to make a law that we could comply with. Because there's lots of things that could be done to test to see whether or not the active ingredient is there. But the way it's written now makes it virtually impossible for us when you're talking about these edible products.
So did you know the state was supposed to be doing this? Why is it just now, through the Free Press's reporting, sort of coming to light like, oh, no, we can't do that?
So I wasn't involved originally when the law was written to decriminalize back in 2013. I was actually in a different position in the laboratory. And I think this part of this rule came out of the rules regarding edible-type products that are sold at the dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the department does have rules that govern how those products are packaged and labeled for consumer use for patients. But that same link cannot be drawn for stuff that's made kind of in the home market situation.
Because a dispensary would be testing and weighing and doing its due diligence before it actually makes a cookie, for example, rather
exactly.
than afterwards testing to make
exactly.
sure they've got it right.
Because they're making a product that's someone to take for medicinal purposes. So it's a bit more strict on how much is there. So the person taking it will have a better idea of how much they're taking because they want to, you know, get into that kind of therapeutic range for marijuana. They don't want to. It's not the experience for them. It's the actual medical treatment.
But so was it a goof? Whose goof was it that we have come to July 1st, 2018, and it's sort of like, oh, you know, everybody dropped a ball on this?
Well, I think we are capable of doing testing on edibles here at the forensic laboratory. It's not that we can't. It's just the mechanisms and the methods that we have now don't allow us to define how much of the marijuana is in that particular product. Every other kind of regulated drug that we look at here at the laboratory, there are weight-based thresholds in state law that go to the aggregate weight. So if we get a Ziploc bag full of a white powder and we can identify that it contains cocaine or heroin, the law is written so that it's the total weight, regardless of what's used for cutting agents. And that same thing does not apply for marijuana. The marijuana laws are written solely for the plant product itself. So unless we can kind of streamline the verbiage to either match and make it an aggregate weight or come up with some weight-based thresholds for total marijuana and infused edibles, we're kind of at a stalemate right now because we can't meet that.
Right. And lawmakers have said, well, but that would defeat the purpose because, you know, if you have, and again, I'll use a brownie as an example.
Right.
If you're arresting somebody for having a brownie that's over an ounce, well, that's not marijuana. So, you know, is there no way to sort of get to the point where we're testing content?
I think we could get there. It would be a large financial and resource investment that we would have to make, and we have to determine if that's the priority that we want to make it right now. Or if the legislatures want to set some other policy, which makes sense for all parties involved as to what those weight-based thresholds might be. I know some states are looking at creating different levels of weight thresholds for edibles, if they're allowing that in their states. So I think it's just a matter of bringing everybody to the table and making sure that whatever is put on the books is not only doable, but it makes sense for everybody involved.
Are there other states or other labs that can do this kind of work that you could sort of outsource it to and not have to reinvent the wheel here in Vermont?
It's possible. The problem is that when you're talking about edibles, there's no great approach to determining exactly how much is in that product, especially if you're talking about large amounts of product, which is usually what we would see here at the forensic lab. We're not talking about the person that has one brownie or one cookie on them. We're talking about the people that might be coming across the border with a truckload full of some sort of food product. So the way that the technology is progressing now is you either have to extract the entirety of that sample to see how much marijuana or THC is there and determine a potency that way, or you have to do some sort of a representative sampling. And the problem with that is not everything is going to be kind of homogeneous to the whole product. You might have some areas of it where it's got a higher content than others, depending on how well it was mixed or stirred. So there's just a lot of uncertainty that goes into this type of testing. So in order to give an accurate weight, which is what we want to do from the forensic standpoint, we don't want to just throw out a number that could be, you know, hugely under or overinflating what the actual content is. We want to make sure that what we're giving is an accurate and reliable number. And the methods just aren't there when you're talking about edibles because the extraction procedures that we have to use and the methods that are used just don't give you that kind of information.
And again, because we have no tax and regulate system, we have no legal sales of marijuana in the state. Despite legalization, you're not allowed to sell it. So you're not allowed to sell an edible. There are no storefronts that would have them. But, you know, somebody in the privacy of their own home making up butter is, you know, fully within their rights to do that as long as they're, again, not selling it. So, Tricia Conti, what do you think should happen? I mean, you're at the head of the forensic laboratory. Is this something that you want to be spending your time on? I mean, it seems like a big sort of gap in the law in terms of being able to figure things out. But so what should happen?
It's definitely a gap that I think needs to be addressed. You know, I'm not in a position where I'm going to be the one setting that policy, but I'm happy to help advise those that are. I think it definitely needs to be addressed because right now you have people that are involved in, you know, making their own edibles or using and well within their right, but they want to know what they're allowed to do so they're not wrongly, you know, arrested or for something that they thought that was okay. And on the other hand, you have law enforcement who, in order to do their job, needs to have, you know, firmer guidelines on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and that just doesn't exist right now. So I think what we're left with is law enforcement working with their state's attorneys to figure out what they're willing to prosecute and what they're not, so that at least until laws are changed, they have a direction to move forward on.
And if suddenly something happened and you were able to do this kind of testing, you know, et cetera, do you have the staffing? Or would you be able to do this at your lab?
You know, I think we have the staffing for it. You know, our controlled substance section is one of the busier sections in the laboratory just because we're dealing with an opiate epidemic and there's just a lot of drugs out there right now that we're trying to help monitor. So I think we could do it. It's more of an instrumentation, and any discipline that we take on, we're accredited laboratories, so we need to make sure everything is done as best as can be so we don't jeopardize our accreditation. So it's not as simple as just buying a new instrument, plugging it in, and moving forward on it. It's, you know, a multi-year process, and I think everyone needs to be aware of that so we can decide moving forward how exactly we want that to look.
That's Tricia Conti, director of the Vermont Forensic Laboratory. Tricia, thank you very much for talking with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.